A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
White words appear on a black screen, a Netflix original documentary, a ZCDC production. Now, a view from inside a forest, the bright sun peeking through the trees as more words appear. Paradise, California. Population, 26,561. Then an audio recording plays over home video clips of local festivals, parades, and other small town activities.
This is an important safety alert from Pacific Gas and Electric Company. Extreme weather conditions and high fire danger are forecasted in Butte County. Starting this Thursday, November 8th, 2018.
A state map pinpoints Paradise in the north.
To protect public safety, PG&E may also temporarily turn off power in your neighborhood or community.
Now, a transmission tower at sunrise as the image suddenly goes black. November 8, 2018.
Please have your emergency plan ready.
6:16 a.m. Now, a man is interviewed, fighting back his tears. Ray Johnson, volunteer firefighter.
Well, the night before, I heard a news flick. It said, it's going to be a really windy day.
News clip.
Skies are clear over Northern California today, but it is going to be a very dangerous day for fire danger and due to the stronger winds.
So I told my wife Jennifer, I says, I'm going to staff the water tender. So I'm going to go up to Station 33. I'm going to staff the water tender. So I spent the night that night at 33, and just in my mind, it just didn't feel right.
An emergency call center.
Normal night shift is 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And it was quiet. I just remember that night being really quiet.
Beth Bowersox, dispatcher.
I was a half an hour away from going home. And my supervisor came over about 5:30. He took the 911 call.
Fire rescue.
The caller was a PG&E employee from the Poe Powerhouse. They were just very matter-of-fact about what they were seeing, what they were reporting, and it's a Polga fire. It's a really remote area. They're common, and we had the winds. I remember saying, oh, okay, I might have to hold over for an hour or two because we got a little fire, no big deal, just right before I go off shift, and okay, no big deal.
So the red flag warning in place through tomorrow morning, wind advisory in place through late tonight, and then we do see some pleasant changes on the way for your weekend.
I was laying in bed with my oldest son who had a fever. My mom had come up to pick up my youngest to take him down to school. And on their drive said, hey.
Daisha Williams, resident.
We see a plume of smoke and it doesn't look good.
7:16 a.m.
Fire rescue, what is the address of the emergency?
I'm headed up to Paradise. Should I turn around or?
We have a large fire down in the Polga and Concow area. It is not at this moment threatening Paradise.
About 7, I called our duty chief, Chief Messina, and said, hey, I'm hearing this thing's like 200 acres. And he said, yeah, I'm heading out there. Just hang on, I'll give you a call maybe in an hour if I need you.
Fire captain.
5 minutes later, my phone rang, and he said, get on the road. He said he could see flames from the valley.
Actual footage of the red, smoky sky. Then Bowersox again.
We dispatched a response. I dispatched it. I actually named it, which has been a nightmare to deal with because everybody's like, why is it the campfire? Why is it the campfire? And it's like, okay, there are reasons it's named why it's named. Like there's specific criteria we have to follow. And
she pauses thoughtfully.
It just seemed like a normal fire at first. And
she frowns sadly.
It got bad real quick.
More footage of fire and smoke. 7:19 a.m. Mary Ludwig, teacher.
I got to school and I didn't notice anything when I pulled in, but then immediately after I got to my classroom, I noticed a kind of a frenzy. In just a matter of 20 minutes, what looked like a calm sky was orange.
Cell video of the smoky sky. Then, Sergeant Rob Nichols, Paradise Police.
I go to the police department. I meet up with my partner who is in training. And we're in a two-man car, and we're literally in the back lot, and all this ash is just raining down. And it gave you the feeling of like being under a volcano.
the shaky cell video again.
Hear that? That's ash coming down. It's not rain.
He catches a piece of ash in his hand.
Ash. God damn.
7:29 a.m.
Hello, fire rescue. What is the address of the emergency?
Again, all I can see is the whole area here is covered in black and smoke.
We started getting calls that were reporting to the incident commander of houses on fire.
7:33 a.m.
Fire rescue. What is the address of the emergency?
What?
Okay, are you in the Concow area?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Go ahead and evacuate, please.
It's in my yard.
It was in the Concow area, and I'm like, okay, that seems reasonable for where this fire started, I guess.
Hello, I'm calling about fire and smoke and orange glow in the sky.
If you're threatened by the fire, then you by all means should make the decision to evacuate even if you haven't been notified. Fire rescue, what is the address of the emergency?
7:39.
Ma'am, go ahead and evacuate. We have the fire department inbound. What's your address?
I'm trying, but it's blocking the road.
Ma'am, get out as fast as you can, okay?
Okay,
bye.
We just had so much we had to do on our side, so many notifications, 911 calls that we're taking, resources that we're trying to order, radio traffic that we're trying to answer.
Engine 941.
At one point, someone in the background said, I just took a call for a house on fire on Sawmill Road. And I'm like, in Paradise?
7:41.
Fire rescue, what is the address of the emergency?
A fire just started, just kind of where Sawmill Peak comes down on Concow. I can see the flames, it just started.
Ma'am, we have a large fire in that area. We're already
in the area. No, this is new flames, lady.
The fires multiply on the map. Then Bowersox again.
I mean, that's not far from my house. And I said, no. And they said, yes, Paradise. And I said, no. And they're like, yes, Sawmill Road in Paradise. There's a house on fire. There's structures on fire. I said, from this?
The minutes tick by.
Spot fires in Paradise.
And we have spot fire asphalt everywhere.
You have spotting on the Paradise side. You have multiple spots on the Paradise side of the ridge now.
It's in my yard.
There's a big-ass fire on Hargrave Road.
Sir, we have a major fire going on in Concow. That's all I can tell you, okay?
Do you know where in Concow? Because my father-in-law lives up there.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere?
It's everywhere. It's a major fire. It's already crossing the Paradise. Sir, I gotta go.
Sergeant Nichols.
I'm immediately dispatched to a spot fire, and that spot fire is like in the middle of town.
It's just getting big by the second. It's like my whole backyard smoking is coming up to my house. Did anyone come on Pest Road right now and come to my house and stop it?
Resident Daisha Williams.
At the intersection of Pence and Skyway, we got stuck in traffic. And I thought, well, this is really weird because we're leaving so early. So we're waiting 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes. I kill the engine. We're still waiting. I'm thinking something's not right. Like, this is not a normal evacuation. This is not what I expected. Now, suddenly, this is a huge, huge threat to me and my kid and my puppy.
A man films, stuck in traffic.
It's fucking wild.
He tilts to show the smoking sky, then pans to his dog as it looks out the back window.
You all right, Wilbur? Just you and me, buddy. Look at you. You good boy. Be all right. Be all right.
The smoke thickens around them.
I'm pretty sure we'll be all right.
Ray Johnson.
I could see the plume of smoke coming from where I was. It was eerie. It was just like a big monster.
Cell video of the giant billowing smoke cloud.
I called my wife, says, hey, this is what we talked about, okay? You need to get out with the kids. And I says, if my phone dies, I love you.
Jennifer Johnson, Ray's wife.
Looking around and seeing in the cars around me people that I know and I've gone to school with and, you know, everyone's just packed up and just trying to get out for their lives, and it's just felt unreal that this is actually happening, that our town is on fire, and just so fast.
More cell footage.
They're evacuating the entire town of Paradise. It's about 40,000 people.
Teacher Mary Ludwig.
I knew it was bad, and it was really, really dangerous. We had children running in off the playground saying that branches were landing on fire. The wind was so strong, and one parent looked at me with the children on the floor and said, get out now, get these kids out of here. I led the kids out towards the bus and we started loading.
Actual footage.
Are they evacuating the kids?
We are evacuating the kids, yes.
Okay, yeah, just do the best you can, okay?
Okay,
bye-bye.
Abby Davis, teacher.
My boss had walked up to me and asked if I would get on the bus. And then Mary, the other teacher who had been on the bus at the time, was also asking. And to be honest with you, I kind of was in shock and froze up a little bit. And I was terrified, but I looked onto that bus and I could see my students' faces and you can hear kids crying. And it just, I knew I had to be on the bus.
Ludwig.
I just felt like I needed to get on there with them. I was scared. I didn't want to, but I did. I felt like that I needed to stay with the kids. And then we started, and immediately the first corner we hit, there was fire, and we were stuck in traffic.
Another driver films the evacuation, following the line of slow-moving traffic as homes burn on either side of the road. Davis.
It was hot, very, very hot inside the bus, very smoky. We were stopped by the McDonald's, and McDonald's caught on fire. And then you see another fire directly across the street. And then it went completely black.
Flames in the darkness. Ludwig.
The kids were asking us, teacher, what time is it? And we're like, it's, you know, 10 o'clock. At night, they asked, is it 10 o'clock at night?
More cell footage.
Okay, keep your windows rolled up.
Holy cow, that's hot.
Ray Johnson.
My wife, she did everything. She was crying and screaming and...
It's okay, you guys, it's okay. Keep going.
She was stuck in traffic and I told her, Jennifer, you gotta do everything you can.
Come on!
My phone, it just like cut out. I thought, this might be the last time I see her, my kids.
Shaky cell footage as she drives amid the flames.
Oh, fuck. We were just sitting ducks for a long time, and my daughter was panicking, and, you know, I just had to reassure her we were fine.
More shaky footage.
Come on!
A young girl.
Mom, we have to stay calm. No matter what, I'm gonna try my hardest for me not to die. I said, I'm not dying today. I said, today's not my day.
Branches and sparks fall all around. Now a young boy.
I just prayed and I said, we're gonna be okay.
More footage as they drive down the dark highway.
Heavenly Father, please help us. Please help us to be safe.
A sea of flames surround them on either side. Now, 8:24 a.m. as the minutes tick.
It was just call after call after call after call.
Dispatcher Beth Bowersox.
Fire has jumped the road.
Fire rescue.
Her.
We have a guy calling saying his wife's in surgery in the hospital on fire.
For the people who say their house isn't yet on fire, or their neighborhood isn't yet on fire, or they have a car, it was, you have to get out. No one can come to help you. We don't have anybody to come and help you.
Joy Beeson, resident.
I ran out in my Skechers and my pajamas. My son was behind me, and we got out of St. Peter's Court onto Sawmill, and at that point, I was running out of breath. And I'm standing there breathing, and my son's watching me, and he says, he put his hand in my back, and he says, you gotta run now, Mama, run now, and pushed me. And you know, when I turned around and looked, this big tree fell right where I had been standing. My son saved my life.
Shaky cell footage. Bowersox.
I just felt like you could just hear the fear in these people's voices and just the desperation, and you just want to be there with them, and you can't. And then you have to tell them I have to go because I have to take another call.
She stares off, fighting back tears, as the screen goes black and the time shows 9:35 a.m. Teacher Abby Davis.
We took a left and then made our way down to Rowe Road. Rowe is a very narrow road, very thick with trees on both sides, lots of fuel for the fire.
Teacher Mary Ludwig.
When we got stuck on that road and you could see that the exit was on fire, that's when the first moment of deep hopelessness came.
Actual footage and photos of the school bus stopped in traffic as trees and cars burn outside the windows.
We're trying to keep them from looking out the window.
Ludwig holds up her phone to show another photo.
The bus really started to fill up with smoke in that area. It was very black, thick smoke.
Ludwig, followed by Davis.
And the kids were really getting lethargic, and some of the littler kids were falling asleep and getting sleepy.
So I ran up to the front of the bus and I told Kevin, the bus driver, that there were a lot of kids telling me that they were starting to get tired. He didn't even think about it. He took his shirt off and he tore it into a bunch of little pieces and he said, we're going to turn these into filters for the kids so that they could breathe. We had one water bottle on the bus and it was in my purse. So we really rationed that water to create wet little filters so every kid and adult on the bus could breathe.
Davis chokes back tears. Ludwig.
At that point, I was dealing with the children. Abby sat next to me and she said, Mary, I don't think we're gonna get out.
Take little breaths, little breaths.
More cell footage.
We were trying to hide emotion from the children and we kind of held each other and we held hands. And so I was trying to be strong for her, but I wasn't feeling strong on the inside. And that's when we prayed.
A dramatization shows the bus filling with smoke.
It's hard to say this out loud, but we pray that we would die of smoke inhalation. And that's a hard prayer to make, you know, to do as we held each other and held hands. And then we took a deep breath to refocus ourselves and we got back to work. We really got back to work.
The screen goes black as the time shows 10:42 a.m. Police dashboard footage of the evacuation scene.
30.
Sergeant Nichols.
We actually went up Pence Road and it's two lanes. So we literally kind of weaved our way through traffic, splitting the lanes with the purpose of getting to Skyway and Clark Road. Having worked that town a long time, I knew that intersection was a mess.
Daisha Williams.
We get where Clark intersects with Skyway, and then we stop again. And it's another 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Man, we're not going anywhere.
And I'm thinking, this isn't right. Why aren't we moving?
Fire captain.
There was about 150 people in the middle of the street.
Complete gridlock, and the fire front was coming.
If you look down Skyway, which is the escape route, it's already on fire.
Marshaling traffic.
We're blocked both directions. We are stuck here right now, all of us. Okay?
Are we going to be okay?
Sir, just pull up behind that red car.
Williams.
We hear a sheriff's car come through over the loudspeaker. He says, prepare to abandon your vehicles and proceed on foot.
She shakes her head.
I was in utter disbelief.
Out of your cars!
They slowly climb out.
Evacuate on foot! Evacuate on foot! Get out of your cars! Optimal parking lot! Optimal parking lot! Stop! Get out of your car!
I thought this can't be right. We can't be safer on foot.
On foot, Optimo parking lot.
Captain Sean Norman.
The fire was coming pretty hard, probably 80, 100-foot flames coming down the Skyway, and it was just crushing all those buildings as it was coming.
Aerial footage. Williams.
We're all standing out in the street right next to a gas station. And a wall of fire is coming at us. I hear my kids' teeth chatter.
Actual footage of them standing at the highway intersection. Resident Joy Beeson.
There were balls of fire that big, like you hear about in the Bible. You hear that, you know, fire from heaven and all that stuff. And I never thought I'd see embers and fireballs coming out of the sky.
Footage of the burning forest as a red flaming inferno rises up. Sergeant Nichols.
We came up with a plan to put people in the parking lot right across the intersection there. It was a great big cement pad that had just been poured.
Williams, we gathered on that little lot. There was nowhere else to go. Captain Norman.
I tried to get a couple helicopters to come in and drop on us, and they had two drops that were really high, didn't really have any effect. I had to kind of change that gear and understand that I wasn't going to put this fire out. One of our firefighters was up there by himself and said, hey, start breaking into these buildings over here, and we're going to start putting them in there.
As they smash the glass doors open, fireballs burst in a nearby field. Daisha Williams.
The field right behind that slab, we found out, was a propane tank storage field, so those started to explode.
Now, a dramatization of an exploding fireball in slow motion.
Every 10 seconds, it was boom, boom.
California Fire Captain Sean Norman.
I've never been in a war, but that sound, when something is that loud, it shakes you inside. You feel it more than you hear it, and it was constant.
The evacuees watch helplessly.
Firefighters told us there literally is nowhere else to go. We are surrounded. We are going to be surrounded. And our hope for survival is going to be laying down, taking cover on this cement slab.
They now take cover inside the buildings.
People were screaming and someone was singing. The propane tanks are blowing up and there's no way out.
Outside, the fire burns all around them amid the darkness.
People don't typically survive in a situation like this, right? You kind of go through that process of thinking like, wow, like, I wasn't able to save my kid. And then, of course, you think, and then how's the rest of this gonna play out?
The hazy red sky goes dark, blanketed by a billowing smoke cloud.
At that point, what do you do, right? We're under this blanket, he grabs my hand, and we just start to pray.
Shaky cell footage from beneath the blanket.
There's really nothing left to say.
A map shows the spreading fire as the cell footage plays.
I don't want to die! I don't want to die!
As Williams solemnly closes her eyes, the map shows the fire overtaking the town.
And that was our reality for hours. It just blew all around us and kept moving. And eventually we were allowed to get up.
Cell footage of them emerging from the building.
The fire front, you know, passed through and got buses up and they caravaned all these people down. And got him out of there.
There's room in the van. Is there anybody else?
Just 5 to 10 minutes.
All right.
You know, it was overwhelming.
Norman.
But at the same time, it was just like, okay, what's next? You know, you clear that, you made it through it, and then it's like, okay, what's our next move?
Dashboard footage amid the smoky darkness.
I guess I can't even see.
The time shows 5:02 p.m. as he drives past burning embers, shining his searchlight.
I went back down. And I saw some people in a house.
I believe there's one more person with two dogs, or two people with one dog, something like that. They're being kind of hesitant to go with us.
I'd hit my siren and no one came out. I was kind of hitting the siren, they'd look out the window and I'd get them to come out. And the fire was coming down the road. There were embers lighting stuff on fire around their house, and we were trying to get them out, and they were refusing.
Shaky footage of the rescue.
We got them, we shoved them in the vehicle, and one of their dogs jumped out and ran back to the house, and they wanted to go back. And I told them, if you leave, you're gonna die here. That fire that's coming is going to, it will kill you. So they were screaming at me, and we're in a bad situation.
Just stop. Please let me do this.
I knew I wasn't gonna make it through the fire front, so I picked out a house that I thought I could survive in, and then that house caught on fire, and it went quick.
Norman's dash footage again.
Hey, I got it!
Tractor fire.
I got him, he's on this side of the road, we're getting the fuck out of here!
I just said, I'm gonna do it.
The screen goes black. Then the dash footage shows his car speeding straight through the flames, emerging into the smoky haze on the other side as he speeds on down the road.
I almost threw up. I mean, I was nauseous from it.
More flames and smoke.
Oh, shit. Hold on, brother. We're gonna get you out of here.
I had three close calls in that 24-hour period, and I think I just kind of reached a breaking point. I was like, there's no way I'm gonna get away with this. I couldn't do it anymore.
His car emerges through the smoke again as the sky brightens.
I didn't want to quit, but, you know, there's just, I got a wife and two kids, and I needed to make it home. So I turned around and went back up, and I'll always remember that, but I made it, so.
He wipes his eyes.
So, anyway. Shitty. This is a shitty day. But those people are alive. They probably don't like me very much, but they're alive. So at least they're alive to not like me, right? So.
He looks back up with teary red eyes, smiling somberly. Now, images of the aftermath as rain falls among the ashen puddles and charred remains of burnt out vehicles, destroyed houses, and blackened trees. The news broadcasts now play over top of the images.
California's deadliest wildfire is now completely contained. The so-called Camp Fire has burned 240 square miles of Northern California since it broke out nearly 3 weeks ago.
An aerial view of the devastation.
Authorities releasing a staggering and sobering number last night.
The death toll from Northern California's Camp Fire has climbed to 77 people.
Over 1,000 people are unaccounted for. Think about that. Over 1,000 people unaccounted for in Northern California after a fast-moving wildfire demolished the small town of Paradise.
Cell video as a man investigates some burnt-out cars.
Now, this is the poor guy. I came down to get my crippled friend out, and he didn't make it. Nobody made it down here. These people all got burned out. I was right down below them here, and my friend, you can see he's dead, and his mother.
A skeleton inside one of the cars.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Elsewhere, a fire truck pulls into a speedway-turned-rescue base. Then later, Fire Captain Sean Norman addresses the assembled personnel.
Good morning.
Many of you spent your Thanksgiving here yesterday, out on a hill in the rain and the snow, and you may be asking yourself, what is my mission? Your task today is to help bring closure to a family and get this community on the road back. And that's kind of moves into your purpose. Your end state is to help a family move on and hopefully answer that question of where their family members who are missing are. So today you're gonna be somebody's hero. You may never see them, you may never meet them, they may not know who you are, but you'll be someone's hero today.
Later, the various police and military personnel scour the charred rubble and debris in their white overalls, masks, and safety gear.
This was the largest search and rescue operation ever conducted in California. Ultimately, a firefighter touched every one of those 18,000 buildings that burned down.
More aerial views of the incinerated homes and buildings.
It was almost complete destruction of the community. Flattened it.
9,700 homes have been destroyed. Total number of structures wiped out, 12,263. The death toll climbing ever higher. The big question is how many more victims will be found.
Charred debris.
What do you suspect those are?
Possibly bone fragments.
Norman now attends to one of the burnt-out homes, joining his team as they scour the remains.
Let's see if we can find where they are.
I kept coming home, you know, after the Valley Fire in 2015, and my wife, I told her this was unprecedented. After the North Bay fires in Sonoma and Napa, I told her this was unprecedented fire behavior. A Thomas Fire in Ventura and Santa Barbara, I told her, this is unprecedented, and finally she told me, I think you have to stop saying that. And for someone who's not a firefighter from the outside looking in to say that, you know, it was kind of a wake-up call for me. It most certainly is not normal.
I want it to stop being normal.
An aerial view of the devastation again, zooming out to show satellite images of the various massive fires.
We have had a series of incidents in the last 10 years that have eclipsed anything that we've had in the history of firefighting in California.
The names and satellite images of the various fires appear in rapid succession, ending with the Camp Fire, then actual on-the-ground footage.
Mass destruction, extremely rapid fire spread, resistant to control, none of our tools able to fight the fire, having to move guys out, having firefighters getting trapped, injured, and killed.
An entire hill on fire.
This is freaking crazy.
Everyone wants to focus on the fuel portion of it. That's just one component. The part that's affecting us the most is our weather. And that's what's driving these fires. We're setting records every year. Our humidities are lower. The fire's burning as aggressively at night as it is during the day. And so we don't ever get that chance to get ahead of it. And the toll on our people is extreme.
The rescue workers' sullen faces.
For us, we're living it. I mean, I'm living it half of the year being at war.
At another burnt-out home, volunteer firefighter Ray Johnson starts his chainsaw, chopping down a dead, blackened tree in the yard.
This is it. This is where me and my wife, we saved up, and we sold our house in Magalia to buy this really nice house, and we feel like an adult. Walked down there and it was just a chimney standing.
A brick chimney stands alone amid the remnants. Then a series of family photos warped by the fire.
I wish I would have grabbed my photo albums of my family, my grandpa. I wish I would have grabbed my cats. They meant a lot to my wife, but you don't have time.
Ray's wife, Jennifer.
There's no way to prepare for something like this. I mean, it was just such a fast-moving disaster. It's a grieving process. It feels like a death of the life that we had.
He sadly surveys the wreckage.
I want to see people back in their houses again. I want to watch the walls come up. But paradise, it's not the same.
Now, a child's Christmas drawing on a class wall as words appear. Durham, California, temporary school for Paradise students.
Some days we feel different. How many of you feel different on different days?
Ludwig leads story time.
Have you woken up and just felt like so mad? Raise your hand if you have just felt so mad. Okay, hands down. Have you woken up and just felt super sad?
The kids put up their hands.
We never thought we'd be on the bus for almost 6 hours. 6 hours is a long time. And we had some animated kids, but they were very brave. I'm very proud of those kids on that bus.
Today in your journal, we're gonna ask that you write how your heart is feeling today. It's really important to write that down.
A child's journal drawing depicts a girl with a fiery dream bubble.
I want you to write and get your writing done, then I'll talk to you after.
Another journal entry depicts a house in the before drawing, replaced by a squiggly line in the after drawing.
I have mixed emotions about living up there with so few homes, so few people around me. I'm scared, definitely, to go back.
Ludwig now drives through Paradise in her car, shaking her head sadly as she peers out at the devastation. Then later, she enters the damaged school, staring in at the charred desks and debris in one of the classrooms.
Oh my gosh. I feel like it's a dream.
She shines a flashlight into another classroom where some of the children's clothes and posted artwork still remains, charred, but still intact.
Wow.
She focuses the light on a fall art display, then on a photo of an amusement park trip.
We had a great responsibility to be hopeful for those kids. As a mother, just knowing I had an important role on that bus. Abby and I had important roles. These kids didn't have their mom and dads.
She walks through the schoolyard, surveying the building.
Yeah, it's a great little school. Well, we got lucky.
Much of it is still intact. Now, a view of the charred dead forest on a foggy day as old home video clips play over top, showing a high school football game and various outdoor activities.
That's Honey Run Covered Bridge, huh?
Williams.
It was such a beautiful community.
Another video shows a man riding a tractor in a parade.
My littlest the other day commented, "Mommy, I just want to go home. I just want to go home." And I said, "I get it, kiddo. I'm right there with you. All these people just want to go home."
An aerial view of the flattened town.
But I don't want to see that road that we drove out on. I think just the visions of it looking like Armageddon.
Cars drive past the burnt out buildings.
Chico's now our home. All these people are now our home. And we got through it.
She nods as her eyes well up. Now, Sergeant Nichols patrols the street at night.
There's Paradise residents displaced all over the county now.
He shines his searchlight as he drives past the burnt down houses.
You can't just take, 30,000-40,000 people, throw them into the next city over and expect there to be enough housing for everyone.
Temporary army tents.
Some people lost their jobs and their homes. All in one fell swoop in one day, gone, everything.
Partitioned beds in a gym.
That's pretty hard to recover from. That's a challenge. So my heart goes out to everybody.
He nods sadly. Bowersox at her call center desk.
I haven't been back up to Paradise. I mean, 89 people? 89 people died. 88? So many people.
A staff bulletin board.
Everywhere you go, there's someone.
It's covered with missing posters.
They experienced it themselves, or they have family or friends. And we're just kind of all in it together, but I feel we're also like just all zombies walking.
A deer wanders among the charred ruins.
And just shuffling around, trying to figure out what do we do next? What do we do next? Where do we go next? Because it's such a small town in the grand scheme of the county and the state, and there will be more catastrophic events and more, things that are going to come and cover over it, and people are going to forget. And I don't want them to forget, because there's so many people who still need help, and there's so much stuff that still needs to be done. And
she pauses thoughtfully, nodding as she fights back tears.
I just don't want people to forget about us.
She bows her head, nodding sadly again. She looks back up with a worried frown, forcing a smile as the screen goes black and words appear. The campfire killed 85 people, making it the deadliest wildfire in the United States in over 100 years. Title: Fire in Paradise. Credits roll as photos of the deceased appear alongside. Directed by Drea Cooper and Zachary Canapari. Produced by Gary Cout. Edited by Carter Gunn and Drea Cooper. Music composed by Matthew Joint. Executive producers Drea Cooper and Zachary Canapari. Field producer Gina Nemirovsky. Cinematography John Baker and Tyler Maddox. Thank you. Copyright 2019, Netflix Worldwide Entertainment, LLC.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.